Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, Julia Fellow, and in for John McCure, it's Eric Bilstad.
So John is back on Monday.
Yay!
Can you believe it? We won't even recognize him. He's got a ponytail, I heard now. His hair is so long. We'll find out.
He's been in Asia for 3.5 weeks with listeners.
So he is back Monday. So big news from today, Julia. Governor Evers says his office will appeal a decision by the White House that is denying FEMA funds for Wisconsin from that flooding we had in August. Now, we should point out, this is different than the individual assistance that was granted already. And I believe there's still time for you to even submit for that if you haven't yet. That's for private residents. In this case, FEMA is not going to help with public infrastructure. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, not happy. He spoke about it earlier this afternoon.
Today's announcement impacts not only Milwaukee County, but it impacts Door County, Grant County, Waukesha County, Washington, and Ozaukee County. And as many of you know, all of us, we have been working extremely hard to recover from these extreme storms as well as the historic flooding.
So Crowley's concern is you have all these different things that need to be repaired that are damaged, and it's going to end up falling back on the taxpayers anyway.
Yikes.
If the FEMA funds can't help. So a little bit more from Crowley.
The preliminary damage assessments show that the damage that we saw throughout all six counties is more than significant. Roads and bridges that our residents rely on sustained substantial damage. Public buildings and facilities were not only washed away, but in some cases had significant mold contamination that will also impact the public health and safety of our residents. Our parks and our trails, they were damaged, which will harm our quality of life in the short term as well as the long term. And the list goes on.
So why was it denied? Well, FEMA says the denial was based on the preliminary damage assessments that were made by state and federal officials. So they said it was determined that the public assistance program was not warranted based on the assessments that were made. The governor's office says, no, wait a minute. Wisconsin Emergency Management had determined that $26 million at least was warranted. Mm-hmm. So the governor does intend to appeal that decision. So that's one of the breaking stories from today. Another story that we've been following very closely this week, Julia, is this one regarding the DPI, the Department of Public Instruction, and the state superintendent. So, as you know, there's been some criticism over how DPI has been investigating teacher grooming accusations with students. New legislation may stem from this now, according to this Cap Times report, questioning how DPI investigates teacher grooming investigations. So they were looking into all of this. There were cases where teachers were able to reapply for a license despite surrendering it. And usually when you surrender a license, when you teach, that means you can't get it back. But they had found someone they were actually able to, and that's bothering some folks in Madison. So we told you Thursday about how the state superintendent, Jill Underley, was not on hand for a committee hearing on the matter on Thursday.
It's my understanding from her representatives that she's attending a Distinguished Alumni Award event today at her alma mater in Indiana, rather than fulfilling her duty to the people of Wisconsin.
So that's State Representative Amanda Nedwiski. She's the co-chair of the committee that called her in. So she was disappointed that Underley didn't say, hey, let's reschedule or anything like that. Well, Underley will have another shot at a hearing. State Senator John Jagler, the co-chair of the Senate Education Committee, he joined us on Thursday. He says, no, he's inviting Underley in again.
So we're going to invite her before our committee. I'm chair of the Senate Education Committee on November 4th. I'm going to invite her to come and testify. And I don't want her deputy. I like Tom McCarthy just fine. I have conversations with him. I like the folks that she sent to our committee before, but she's never appeared once before our committee on any matter. So it's an invited testimony only, and the only invited speaker is her. And I want to ask her some questions and get to the bottom of this.
So that is 2 weeks from now. We'll find out if that actually happens. Will she appear before that committee on November 4th?
Wow. Interesting.
We'll
okay, I'm going to mark my calendar mm-hmm. here. Okay, so in 11 days, I believe. Interesting.
Yep, mark it down.
From sidelines to the locker room.
This is unlike anything else that's ever happened in franchise history. Now, I know what I'm saying when I say that.
And everything in between.
How many times are you going to come to my press conference late? We got a rule in the team meeting. You don't interrupt the meeting. Sit your butt outside.
No one covers the team like Jason Wilde.
Well, that's very kind of you to say, but I don't do enough politics.
It's time to get caught up on the green and gold on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
Green and Gold Insiders is sponsored by Window Nation. Okay, you interviewed the star, Jason, Aaron Rodgers, yesterday. Tell me everything.
I didn't ask him about his marriage.
I'm so disappointed in you.
I'm sorry to disappoint you. I know that was something you're intrigued by, yeah. And you're not alone.
Really? Did someone ask?
Lots of people. No, no one asked.
Oh, okay.
But you're not alone in being interested. So, no, sorry to disappoint you.
No,
not a lot of groundbreaking stuff from him, but, you know, I do think the most interesting thing that came out of it was his acknowledgement that this would be more special, but it would probably also be way more emotional if this game was at Lambeau instead of it being in Pittsburgh.
Right.
Obviously, it's going to be against the team that he spent 18 years with, and that carries a lot of heft that way. But to come back here, like I'm in my office at Lambeau now, and to come back here with the history and all the memories that he has, I think that might have been a little, even for him, who's pretty stoic, it might have been a little overwhelming. So it's probably better for him that the game's in Pittsburgh.
So what was your question?
Well, that's a long story that we don't have time for. There was a glitch with the Zoom. I didn't get my question in.
What?
The whole thing. Yeah, I know. And I was one of the top draft picks. So they were, in fact, there was confusion as to why I hadn't asked a question, apparently, among the PR folks. But it's okay. It's not the end of the world. And, you know, that's more of a vanity
project. You did a show with Rodgers. I mean, he should have just been like, Weldy, ask me a question.
I did. Yeah, that's, you know, and I have texted him since seeking the opportunity to ask my question. And he is, like, you have that person in your life who very rarely replies to your text messages. Like,
oh,
and,
sure.
And when he does, it's random. Like, you've sent like 8 text messages or something about work or there's something about family and they don't reply. And then you text them something about the office and they reply right away. That's him. So it's fine. I've got plenty of material for all my stories on Channel 3000. We have plenty to talk about on Wildy and Tausch. It's not the end of the world, but it would be great to get a response.
Does Aaron text you with emojis or just one word answers? What is it like?
I have gotten a variety of things. There was the one time when he was on McAfee and everyone else was asking about his wife, and I wanted to know about the dog because he had talked about his new dog he had. And so I got like 12 pictures of the dog to share with
him. Oh, that's fun. That's okay, nice. What kind of dog?
I don't know if it's an Akita or a Husky, one of the two. Beautiful dog.
Oh, Akitas are
just gorgeous,
very protective.
Gorgeous dog.
Hey,
yeah, but no.
Jason,
go ahead, Eric. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. I'm sorry. You guys can keep talking about dogs.
Nice.
I can talk dogs all day. Yeah.
Labradoodles now. For Christian Watson, what can we expect? The drama leading up to the deadline on Sunday with Christian Watson. What's going to happen there?
So the timeline is this. So if he is going to play, he is technically not on the roster yet, even though he's practiced now for the better part of 3 weeks. They opened up the practice window for him. It's 21 days. They opened it on the 6th. They have 21 days to activate him. But even though he's practiced 8-9 times, he's not technically on the roster yet. So they have to do by 3 p.m. tomorrow, they have to put him on the 53-man roster. Now, their roster is full right now. The last couple of weeks, they have been playing with 51, 52. Now they'd have to cut somebody. And would that be Lucas Havrisik, their kicker who came in and saved the day while Brandon McManus has been dealing with this injury? Would it be someone else? That part we don't know. But if he is going to play, they got to get him on the roster first, and the deadline is 23 hours from now.
Because you can always send someone to the practice squad, but then they can get plucked by another team, right?
Right, and if to get Lucas Havrisik, for example, to the practice squad, you have to release him and expose him to the waiver wire, which means any team with a bad kicking situation, which we know there's plenty of, would be able to claim him.
Hey, I know we're a little ways away, Jason, from the trade deadline, but obviously that's always a conversation now. It's become pretty hot convo in the NFL. Is there anything that you would anticipate, at least the Packers considering, as we get closer to that date?
Yeah, great question. In fact, a handful of us beat writers were just in the hallway talking about this before I came in to talk to you guys. You know, there's probably some high-priced names that I don't think they're going to acquire anybody. Let me put it that way, first of all. You know, they made their big trade for Micah Parsons. But you would think that Brian Gutekunst might want to recoup some draft picks. He gave up 2 first-rounders to get Parsons. So, you know, is a guy like Elgton Jenkins, their center, who's going to be going into the last year of his deal next year, or, you know, and this would, they could potentially get a pretty good pick for him if they were to move on from Rashawn Gary. I don't see either of those things happening. I did talk to Kingsley Enagbare, who's one of my favorite guys, in part because he goes by the nickname of JJ, because not because he has J's anywhere in his name, right, but his favorite show growing up was JJ the Jet Plane. And so that's why he goes by JJ. And he may be an option to trade because he's lost opportunities, but he's played really well when he's gotten some opportunities still. But with Micah Parsons, his playing time has decreased. He's a good player, a good young player that they could get a good draft pick for.
And Romeo Doubs, do you think that they are going to do a long-term contract extension with him? A trade is highly unlikely, people are saying, with him.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that there was a chance maybe going into the season that he might be traded because they had so many guys. But now, you know, Dontayvion Wicks has been ruled out for the game with a calf injury. Watson's still not officially back on the roster. Jaden Reed isn't practicing, broke his collarbone in week two. So I don't think the one thing you don't want to have is you make a trade like the Brewers did a couple of years ago where they were in first place, but they traded away Josh Hader.
Mm-hmm.
And that just wrecked that clubhouse when they did that. Now, I don't think you want to be giving away important pieces if you're sitting here telling your guys, hey, this team can win a Super Bowl.
He is Jason Moldy, the best in the business, has an office at Lambeau Field, even knows the deep cut of people's nicknames, JJ.
Yeah.
Has photos of Aaron Rodgers' dog. Is this amazing?
I do.
Has his phone number. He's the best. And you can check him out on Wilde and Tausch on ESPN Wisconsin from 9 to noon. Also, incredible articles on channel3000.com. Thank you.
Thanks, Jason.
And quick personal self-promotion.
Next week,
filling in for the great Mark Tauscher on appearances on Wisconsin's Morning News.
That's right.
With the two knuckleheads that do that show.
I don't know who those crazy guys are, but they sound incredible. I like the cut of their jib.
All right, Jason.
So do I. All right, guys.
You.
Take care.
See
Be good.
4:38 on Wisconsin's Afternoon News. She is Julia Fellow. I'm Eric Bilstead in for John Mercure. News from the East Coast.
This is not about me. This is about all of us.
Yeah.
And about a justice system which has been weaponized.
Yeah.
A justice system which has been used as a tool of revenge.
Yeah.
That is New York Attorney General Letitia James pleading not guilty in court today to federal mortgage fraud charges. Joining us from ABC Legal News contributor Royal Oaks on Wisconsin's Afternoon News. Royal, what happens now moving forward? She pleads not guilty. Where does this case go from here?
All right, a couple of steps. The first is her lawyers are, of course, going to prepare a motion to dismiss the case so it doesn't get anywhere close to a jury trial. And the basis of the motion would be that, for one thing, she's alleged to have made maybe $20,000 because she got a better deal, lower rates on her mortgage by lying about whether she was going to use it as a second home or rent it out. And now evidence is coming forward. Her lawyers say that she maybe made a grand. The other thing is perhaps she didn't really break the law because based on the definition of occupied in the federal statute, she didn't really violate that law. So those are the arguments in support of the motion to dismiss.
And here's the other story of the day that has to do with the president again. The president of the United States just pardoned billionaire founder of Binance, Changpeng Zhao. He was serving like 4 months in prison, and he pled guilty in 2023 to money violations that allowed criminals and terrorists to move money through the platform. And what was interesting to me was that he used people to lobby and lawyers to seek a pardon who knew the president.
And he got the pardon. So he did his 4 months of time. He was released, and now he's gotten a pardon. So what does that mean? Well, he can't give him his 4 months back, but a pardon states that we officially, the federal government, are forgiving it. It doesn't wipe it off the books, but it prevents him from suffering the slings and arrows of being a felon, like not being able to vote or get licenses and so on. So it doesn't erase it from the books, but it's an official forgiveness. The controversy is folks are saying, well, gee, Donald Trump's family has business ventures with this person, and therefore there's the appearance of favoritism and a conflict of interest.
Right. He was getting questions actually just yesterday in the White House if it was related to the deal that recently was struck with Trump's family with a crypto startup. Here is his answer.
But he had a lot of support, and they said that what he did is not even a crime. It wasn't a crime, that he was persecuted by the Biden administration. And so I gave him a pardon at the request of a lot of very good people.
Wow. So if you're a billionaire, Royal, I didn't even think of doing something like that after I pled guilty to something so huge and use lobbyists and lawyers. Isn't that, wow, that's clever.
Well, money talks, and of course, people complain often about celebrity justice or the fact that rich guys can hire fancy lawyers. As the president was saying there, the argument is that the Biden administration was engaged in over-enforcement of the crypto industry, and it was persecution. The answer to that is no, the Biden administration did make legitimate, reasonable steps. But who knows? Bottom line is that this fellow does have a pardon, and as a result, it's the official forgiveness of the crime.
ABC News legal analyst Royal Oaks, thank you so much for joining us.
You bet. Thanks.
442 on WTMJ, and Debbie helps get you home. And then I have a really interesting story, a really powerful message from a construction worker who nearly died after he was hit while working in Pewaukee on our roadways. And his co-worker died. Another driver was killed, and he remembers it all. He talked to me, and you'll hear it coming up next.
Yeah, there is a face behind every flag and cone and flashing light. And for our members, our contractor companies, yeah, their people are their most valuable resource.
That is the message from the Wisconsin Transportation Builders Association Executive Director Steve Boss. And he did not come alone. When I spoke to him today, he came with another man, a construction worker whose story is so powerful. It's almost my top 10 favorite interviews I've ever done. The man I interviewed is Kyle Perkins. He had full braces on both legs. He had a cane as he came in. And he described to us what caused him to go through 5 surgeries. He was hit by a truck going 60 miles an hour while trying to work on our roads.
At 9:30 in the morning, 800 feet down from where we were working, a truck came through and rear-ended a car, and he killed that lady. He rear-ended, and he took off in the construction zone in the barrels, and he ran over me and my coworker, and he killed my coworker.
I don't know if you remember this, but this was June of last year.
Yeah.
It was Highway 164 and Capitol Drive, mm-hmm. Pewaukee. You do.
Mm-hmm. And that's a very busy intersection, and that shut down that area for all day because of the devastating consequences.
Half a dozen people were in that construction zone working that morning, and it was a crystal clear day, he says. He was actually training someone else on how to use some of the heavy machinery they were putting in curbs when all this happened, and he tells me, Kyle, he remembers the entire thing.
After he drove over us, I was laying across my coworker Nano, which is deceased. He was still breathing at the time. But he was breathing hard, but I was laying across him. No one would move me from him till the ambulance got there. And then they did CPR on him right away, right next to me when they pulled him off from underneath my legs because I was laying across him. And that was the last time I seen him.
Could you imagine laying across your coworker like that after getting hit? His injuries are so extensive. At first, emergency crews thought that his legs might have to be amputated because this driver literally rolled over him.
When I got struck, both my ankles broke, both my knees dislocated, so that caused all my tendons, ACLs, all to be torn, so they had to reconstruct both knees. After that accident, my hip was fractured, cheekbone was fractured, not counting the road rash and bruising and everything. But I'm here to tell the story.
He has nerve damage, Eric, so bad that he has a hard time picking up his foot, makes it hard to drive, hard to even walk. Those injuries remind him of that day all the time.
Every day, and every time someone mentions Pewaukee or even 164 in Capitol when an accident happened, it's a memorial and a memory of what happened that day.
I asked him, did he hear the initial crash before the driver went into the construction zone? Because the person that he rear-ended, he killed.
I've been doing construction for 28 years. You get used to hearing squealing tires and brakes, and he was only 2 feet behind me when we got ran over. No one's seen it coming. And there was six of us working in that one spot. And
that suspect is now behind bars for the next 25 years for reckless homicide, two counts of that, and reckless injury. His name is 51-year-old Jade Moen. He had no driver's license, no insurance, and it was his 15th car crash in a matter of years. What is going on? Apparently in court, he tried to use the excuse that he was having an epileptic seizure.
Okay.
It was 15 accidents, though.
Yeah, exactly. And wow. Also, it was a manual car. It was like a 1959 kind of pickup truck.
Yeah, yeah.
So, come on. It was all steel that went into Kyle and his coworker.
The lady he rear-ended, she was a mother, a grandmother, a sister. I don't know. He was 47, and he has three kids and a wife.
Yeah, and now they're gone. These are his thoughts that he's now thinking about. He's thinking about them. He's thinking, why did I live? Why didn't I die? Why was I the one that survived? And then he's also thinking about this.
No, will I ever get back to my job again? You know, do my job? It's like, I want to say I will, but will I? Time will tell.
Yeah, his eyes were red, and he was almost going to cry a couple times. But his final message to all of you who may be listening right now and driving is this.
Because I'm one of those guys that thought it would never happen to me. And if it happened to me, it'll happen to somebody else. And people just have to learn just to slow down. 1 minute, 5 minutes takes you to get someplace. It's not worth it.
The Wisconsin Transportation Builders Association Executive Director Steve Boss tells me they're working really hard to get Kyle's message out and other messages. They have a billboard up, for example, on 41 between Appleton and Green Bay. Okay. Deb, is that a really big construction area?
What was that? Where was that?
41 between Appleton and Green Bay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much of a construction zone it is right now, but it was. And it continues to be worked on occasionally, just like ours.
Mm-hmm.
But because there's not much going on between those two cities, people feel like they can just tear through there. There's a reason why these traffic laws exist, where they like multiply your penalties for breaking the law in a work zone, period.
Yeah.
And it's this.
Kyle says that, you know, he takes his time now because of stuff like this.
Right.
You know, and...
you know how you can tell sometimes when you've interviewed, you know, millions of people, and you can tell who is in a good headspace and who might still be struggling with demons or struggling with some of this. How is he doing? How is he feeling, do you think?
You know, when I was looking at him, you know how some people give you that 1,000-yard stare?
Mm-hmm.
And when he was going back to that day when he was saying that he was lying on his coworker's body.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thankful that he shared that. But, you know, this is
It's great that he is. Yeah.
No, he said there's major mental issues as well. And this is another powerful thing he said.
Pretty simple. I actually drive through the construction zone. Like, it's your loved ones, your children, your parents are working there. You know, drive like they're the ones that are there.
I think that's really
powerful.
That's
great PSA.
You should.
Yeah.
Think of it like, you know, it's your child or your mom or your dad, because one of them are trying to come home because they are a dad.
Right.
Come on. There's also these billboards, for example, on 41 between Appleton and Green Bay. That's why I mentioned that. It shows a construction worker on a billboard, and his son is on the sign. And the message is, slow down, that guy in the fluorescent vest is my dad.
Oh, that's great.
So good.
That's powerful stuff. That'll work.
So they plan to have that same billboard up for the 94 construction project that's going both ways.
Which starts next week.
That's going to be years long. I think so too, Deb. I mean,
he's so courageous to come out with this, and it is going to make a difference, I think.
I think so too. And our state's Transportation Builders Association, they also created an online course for young student drivers, and it's pretty cool. You can text construction to 855-616-1620. Tens of thousands of students have used this across our state.
It's not a bad thing for just about anybody to go through and take that Work Zone Safe Wisconsin course. It's a great refresher. It's a great reminder. And again, it ties it to stories, and it tells the stories behind these things and the consequences, and really personalizes the learning.
I think that's super important. Again, if you text construction, it'll take you right to the page. And we'll also, Isaac is going to post our interview podcast right after this, so you can share with everyone. And I'm just going to leave you again with this last message. I think that this is the most powerful thing that anyone could say.
Pretty simple. Actually, you drive through the construction zone, like it's your loved ones, your children, your parents are working there. You know, drive like they're the ones that are there.
Totally. And also, you know, you're going to think, oh, okay, like the 43 construction that was going on for years that is pretty much done.
Right.
Oh, I know that pattern. I do that every day. No. For example, on 94, it's going to be one lane closed at a time. And those barrels change, you know, by the second.
All
and I
the
see
time.
People.
Yep.
I'm thinking about our Milwaukee drivers that are going to be there. They want to get to a Brewers game, or they're coming from, you know, Waukesha County coming into Milwaukee. There's that bottleneck, and that's what they're trying to fix. But it's going to be even worse, and it makes me really worried.
Well, and they talk so much about, like, it's just a matter of slowing down and paying attention, which is common sense, and it really is. But at the same time, there's a reason why it keeps getting reiterated. There's a reason why Kyle is out here telling you his story. It's because more and more people need to hear it and heed it.
Yes. Text construction at 855-616-1620 if you would like to learn more. And also, Isaac is going to be putting that on our website, the podcast, and everything. Yes. Pump it up, Isaac. Next is basketball.
Hey, and it looks like Giannis will play tonight. The Athletic reporting that he will play against the Raptors. He was a game-time decision, and let's go.
There's always something special he does every game. He's just so remarkable. I love him. 37 points in the last game. Let's keep it up. It'll be a great game.
Bucks also, and Raptors.
Oh, what's that?
I said Bucks and Raptors tonight.
Yes. Let's go, Bucks. Fear the deer. Have a great night, everybody. Please stay safe and drive safe.